right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to TFT's radio show. We have a special guest today. Just so you know, that's my new intro music called Elephant Talk. And a couple of the things he says there are babble, balderdash, badger, bicker. It's all about talk radio. So here we are, Internet Talk Radio, and we have special guest Pete Zucker, sometimes known as Bronx Teacher, South Bronx School, So Bronx Teacher. I don't know, he's got 400 aliases, and he also has a noise. And so before I welcome him officially and let him speak, I have to play this. So this is the Bronx introduction. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
Bronx Teacher. Hey, Bronx.
Rich, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you for that introduction. For those of you who are listening and don't know, that's the intro from Subdivisions from Rush, the Off the Signals album, 1982. For those of you who don't know. And since we're on the subject of Rush, can I throw a plug in?
Oh, of course.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, the first single is out for the new off the new Rush CD. It's called Headlong Flight. You can download it on iTunes right now. It's off. I forgot the name of the album. Oh, you know what, Rich? I forgot the name of the album.
Oh my God! Some diehard fan you are.
Clockwork Angels. That's the new name on the new CD. I think it's due out in on iTunes in your local record store. That's if there are any local record stores left. I believe the first week of June, and the tour starts on September 7th in New Hampshire. I think Manchester, New Hampshire, on September 7th. In fact, Rich, tell me how much of a fan you think I am right now. I get out of that. That is the first Friday of the first week of school. I get out at 2:50 p.m. Okay?
Right.
I'm trying to calculate if I can make it. If I leave, get in my car at 2:50 p.m. on September 7th, I'm trying to calculate if I can make it to New Hampshire, Manchester, New Hampshire, by 8 p.m. for showtime.
Can you? Is it possible? I have no idea.
It depends. You know what? It really depends. I got to map out the route. You know, unfortunately, I'll probably be going through Boston at their rush hour.
That's
going
to be.
I'll have to make a circuitous route around Boston. But I'm trying to do it. But I am definitely seeing Rush at. And for those of you who want to know, I think the date is October 20th. They're playing Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Well, that's the beauty of the Google. People can do some Googling and find out.
Yeah, for those of you in the chat room, if you want to get a date there when Rush comes into Bridgeport, Newark, New Jersey, and the new arena, they're playing Brooklyn. Rush is coming to Brooklyn.
Dude, you realize no one but you cares about any of this, right?
Well, I got to get a plug in. I didn't know if you knew this, but Neil Peart, Geddy Lee, and Alex Lifeson pay me to say this stuff.
I was going to ask you if they're paying you. I hope they are. You know,
get free tickets.
While we're talking about Rush, I was just listening to 2112 not very long ago, because that was my introduction to Rush, and I still kind of love that album. And I was listening to the long play, you know, the whole 2112
mm-hmm.
side. And I can't help but just say to everyone, whether they're Rush fans or not, everyone needs to listen to that, because it's basically what's happening in America.
You know what? You're right. And I've been thinking for a long time and trying to juxtapose 2112 and writing
older
a blog post, especially what's happening in education. I've been thinking about that for a long time.
Yeah, well, when he pulls out the guitar and he goes to the elders and he says, look at this beautiful thing and listen to the beautiful music, and they're like, we don't give a shit. We've seen that crap. We don't, that doesn't do anything
right
for anybody. It is the education reform song. I mean,
you're right.
It fits so perfectly. It's unbelievable.
I'm going to tweet this when we're done. I'll give you the credit, though, but it definitely
Yeah.
2112. Okay.
I think I'm gonna do a radio show where I pause it every now and then and discuss the lyrics, because it's perfect.
How about this? I'll write my blog post. We'll take that blog post and we'll do the show together.
Yes. Awesome. Love it.
Okay.
Love the idea.
Awesome. Okay. In fact, you know what's even more awesome?
What?
October 19th, 1996, Albany, New York, Knickerbocker Arena, opening show of the Test for Echo tour for Rush. They did the entire 2112, the entire set, all 22 minutes of 2112.
And 2112, by the way, is the air drum song.
Yes, just the song, just the song, not the rest of the album.
Right.
Unfortunately, I was really baked during that song, but.
Okay, you might not, you know, this is your interview, dude, for your big job, idiot. Okay, we have a caller already.
Oh, wait, one more thing about 2112, Rich, I suggest you do this. Have you ever, have you ever heard, I forgot what it's called, 2112 and Willy Wonka?
No, wow, that's trippy.
Now, you cue up 2112, and you start it. When Gene Wilder comes, you get it ready. And when it's Gene Wilder, remember, not the one with Tim Burton.
No, I know, the Gene Wilder, the real one.
Yeah, when he comes out, remember when he comes out of the factory?
With his cane, yes.
With his cane, he's limping. As soon as he falls over, when he falls down.
Right.
That's when you hit play, right there.
All right. All right, okay. I'm gonna check it out.
One more thing about 2112. have you ever heard the 1812 Overture in part one?
I'm not sure.
Okay, when we get off the phone, I want you to play 2112 if you can. Listen in part one.
Right.
And I want you to hear right before the din 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 din. That part,
right?
You hear Alice Lifeson on the guitar doing the 1812 Overture.
All right, I'm gonna listen very closely, and then we'll talk about it we'll talk about it on our 2112 show.
Yeah, in fact, we need a hashtag for Twitter for Education 2112.
All right, we'll do that, dude. We have a caller,
okay.
and they're calling a bit early, but I'm gonna go ahead and let them on and see what they want. Caller, area code 804, you're on the air. Who are you and what do you want?
Hi, my name is Theo. I'm in Virginia. I just came across your show. I guess you have your guests running for an office in the Bronx. I'm from New York originally. I went to school in the Bronx many years ago, but I'm curious what he's campaigning on and for.
Okay.
Well, I'm running for chapter chair union rep in my school, PS 154 in the South Bronx.
All right.
And that's basically what I'm, and I want to be an independent voice.
All right. Well, let's not blow it right now. Let's start the actual interview. So caller, I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold. Is that okay? And you're just hang on and you can listen in. And if you have a question, I'll put you back up.
Yeah, let's put him back.
All right. Yes, I actually did want to just give my name for interest, because I have some pretty interesting political stuff that can be viewed on the internet.
Okay. Are you looking in our chat room by any chance?
No, I don't. I don't go on the computer.
Okay. Okay. Well, why don't you sit tight? Give us about 5 or 10 minutes to get going, and then I'll put you back on the air, and you can ask a question or tell us something.
Great. Thank you.
I'm going to mute you for now, though. Okay.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Very good. All right. So he's muted. Okay. So let's get down to business. There are three guests in the chat room, so there's at least three or four people listening. So down to business, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Pete Zucker is running for chapter leader, like he said, in his school in the Bronx, PS 150, what is it?
154.
So I agreed to grill him as hard as I can, so that you people out there who may indeed be voters in this union election can get an idea of what Pete plans on bringing to the job. So, first of all, Peter, why do you want to run for this thankless job?
Well, there's several reasons, and in no particular order. I feel that the UFT and its main caucus, Unity Caucus, which also controls the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, no longer works for the rank and file. Right now, in my belief, is the UFT and the AFT, along with the Unity Caucus, is not only more interested in keeping those in power of the unions in power, but in the last 10 years has completely dropped the ball and sold us out, us teachers. Okay? Secondly, you have something to say?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, when you say sold us out, what does that mean?
Well, sold us out. We can look back to, let's just start with 2002, in which Randy Weingarten acquiesced to Uncle Mike Bloomberg's wish to have mayoral control of New York City schools, okay? If she didn't cave, I don't believe the legislators in Albany would have agreed to this. Worse, even if they were going to give mayoral control, fine, let him be in charge. But let's have an independent, quote-unquote, panel for educational policy, which replaced the old Board of Education. Okay, right now the panel for educational policy is made up of 13 members. The mayor selects 8 of those members.
Wow.
The borough presidents of Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, and Staten Island select one each, so you have 13. And if the mayor's appointees vote against the mayor, he just replaces him. As this happened, I think, in 03 or 04 when they voted against mandatory holding over kids who didn't in third grade.
Okay.
So,
and
I mean, if they want to tell, at least, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How would what does chapter leader get to do to try to fix that?
Well, I don't think the chapter leader has anything to do to fix that. What I think the chapter leader does have is, number one, a voice in it, okay, at the delegate assemblies of the UFT, which is controlled by Unity.
Okay, explain that a little bit so people understand what.
Okay.
The charter leader is a voting member of something?
Think of the delegate assembly as the Imperial Senate in Star Wars.
Okay.
Okay. And Michael Mulgrew, the president of the UFT, is Chancellor Palpatine.
Okay.
Okay. And you have the Imperial Senate, okay, the delegate assembly. And there's about 2,000 delegates, okay? Now, it includes all chapter leaders, union reps from the schools, which are about, off the top of my head, about 1,400 schools.
Okay.
Plus delegates elected per school or at large to go there.
Okay.
The Unity Caucus is like, say, the Republican or Democratic Party. It's a party.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So
and
you're a voting member.
Of all motions, anything that could be brought to the floor to vote. And what it is they control what can be, and they control it. And if it's anything that's contradictory to the UFT leadership, what they want, it's not ever voted on.
Okay. And you'd be one of those voting members?
Not only would I be one of those voting members, I would be one of the voices in there, okay?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay, I would be one of those voting members.
Okay. So that's sort of the power behind the position. It's not much, but it does give you the power to vote on union issues and try to guide the union in the direction that you want to guide it. So let me ask you.
And there's other powers.
Right, okay. let me ask you, what direction do you want to guide this union toward? Where do you want it to head?
Well, I mean, let me just speak from, you know, from how I would want my chapter, which way I would want, you know, I would want to be independent. I will definitely be independent of the UFT and the Unity Caucus. Okay?
What do you mean by that? You mean nobody's going to tell you how to vote or what to say?
Nobody's going to tell me how to vote or what to say. I will do what is best for the school, and no particular order, what is best for the school, what is best for the students, what is best for the community.
Right.
Okay? And, of course, this will be in consultation with those I put on the consultative committee of my school.
And that's, you make those appointments?
Yes, I make those appointments.
Okay. So you talk about independence as if that's something that doesn't really exist, and that's something new that you're going to bring to the job. Is that accurate? Do you feel that your predecessors lacked independence?
Of course they do. Too often we see chapter chairs, union reps, that are controlled by the local borough district office, okay, and also controlled by the local district representative for the U of T. As you know, New York City still technically is broken up into 32 districts.
Right.
Me being in District 7, okay, we have a district representative who represents District 7 as a whole, and the district leaders are not even voted on. They're just appointed, you know, not even appointed, like anointed by 52 Broadway. Okay? So
is
no
that
democracy.
What's 52 Broadway? I don't know that.
That is the UFT headquarters, which
okay.
I want to know why we're paying all that money for, you know, my union dues are going to that primo real estate.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. So,
okay.
So the, when you say they're controlled, how can they be controlled, and how are you going to avoid that?
Well, you know, the UFT likes to throw perks their way to the Unity Caucus, to the district, to the chapter leaders.
Like what, money?
Well, I don't know, money, but like reimbursement to go into the AFT convention. Okay. And when was it, 2 weeks ago, everybody affiliated with Unity got to go to the NYSIT convention up in Buffalo for 4 central days.
So it's the poor man's version of the corporate getaway, kind of.
Yes, the corporate getaway, unfortunately, Buffalo. And in fact, the AFT convention this year is in Detroit.
Lovely.
Yes. And I don't need to remind you that selling out, you know, and the incestual relationship that Randy Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, has with Bill Gates, who wishes to kill us all, figuratively.
Right. So you are not fond of Randy Weingarten.
No, I'm not.
I sense that. Okay. So you sound like you are a bit of a rebel, and you don't appreciate the way you've been represented as a member by your leaders, and you're running to change that. So I need to ask you, what is there some special knowledge, or is there some reason why you are a better pick than anyone else? Do you have, I don't know, you got connections, you got knowledge, you got something that other people don't, and how do you know they don't and you do?
Well, let me give you a couple examples. Let me start with 3 years ago. 3 years ago, my school was on the brink. My school was in disarray. We had an assistant principal who was physically
okay.
abusing students.
Wow.
Okay, we had a principal who was covering it up.
Okay.
I was calling the Office of Special Investigation time and time again about this. Not but leaving my name.
Right.
Okay. I put my career out there, not only for the teachers in my school, but also for the children in my school. I went on Fox 5 with T.Y. Chang. I was interviewed. Okay. I shared what I've seen of the former assistant principal, Derek Townsend. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, I put my neck out there. Nobody else from the UFT put their neck out there like that. Not one person from the UFT, when this was all said and done, when both were removed from the school, had the temerity to say thank you or job well done or even give me a thumbs up.
So you just feel as if people don't take a stand and you will?
I take a stand. I will fight for what is right. I know it sounds like a cliche and it rhymes, but I will fight for what is right. Everything is a battle.
Okay?
There's no pick and choose my fight. Everything's a battle. It depends what you use in the battle and how you fight the battle. Sometimes, you know, it's like the Cold War. If you look at the Cold War, sometimes there was no weapons, nothing used.
Right.
Okay? There were battles, cold battles.
Okay.
Sometimes there were hot battles. It depends on, you need to know what strategies to use. There's no pick and choose a battle.
Okay. So as you look at the field of candidates or the, you know, potential others that could take that job and you, it sounds to me like you feel you have, I don't know, just more information. Do you feel like you're better informed than other folks?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, now you went earlier, you just said about contacts. I think the contacts I have made in the last almost four years of writing one of the more popular blogs,
right,
in New York City on education, and nationwide, also my Huffington Post writing, also
right,
my Twitter and the radio show. I have made some great contacts.
Right.
Okay? There's names in education that I feel I could pick up the phone or email, and I will get a response and advice, guidance. Diane Ravitch.
Really?
Lainey Hameson, Mona Davids.
So these are some of the biggest names.
Rita Solnit.
Okay.
Okay. Yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm nobody.
Several people. David Green. Okay. Sean Johnson. Okay.
Right.
These people, Peggy Johnson, these people on top of it, these people, I really respect these people, and I have a great rapport with these people. I don't want to name these certain names, but there's several members of the Panel for Educational Policy
who
I can reach out to. Oh, I forgot. Heck, even Karen Lewis.
Right, okay.
Okay.
And Leo
Casey, my own union, I reached out to several weeks ago about an issue going on in my school. I gave them a call. Leo called me back.
Right.
Leo worked on the problem.
Right. I know that. Now, a lot of those people that you mentioned, you know, Diane Ravitch.
Oh, I forgot to mention Norm Scott.
Okay. So just a few of the names. You mentioned Diane Ravitch and Sean Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And me, and those three people are anti-reform, loudmouth, you know, tell it like it is, take no prisoners, out there. And you put yourself kind of in that group. Is that going to be a problem for you as a chapter leader, being a loudmouth, outspoken, really almost...
No.
Opponent, or are you going to be combating ignorance among teachers in New York, and you're going to have to educate them, and they might not like that? I mean, how are you going to work that out?
I don't even want to call it ignorance. Okay, I think it's definitely not ignorance, but it might be apathy.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm just saying this is not only system-wide in New York City, but I think this is throughout the country, okay? And I think it's mainly because teachers, especially the classroom teachers, have so much on their plate as it is.
Right.
And it's difficult for them to get into this and all that. But I would not be a combative chapter.
Hold on, hold on, Bronx. Pete, yeah. your voice is a little in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. What every school needs, here's what every school needs. True collaboration between the union and the administration.
Okay. How are you gonna do that?
I think it's very simple. One, that in addition to the monthly committee meetings, you know, with the principal, there should be a weekly meeting between myself and the principal.
Okay.
It should be informal. It should be, hey, this is what's on my mind. This is what's on your mind. You know what? Every problem has a solution. What can we do to get a solution to the problem?
Now, is that that's not something that is currently in place? You'd have to ask your principal to do that, correct?
Yes, I would, and I'm sure there would be no problem.
Okay. Why are you so sure?
Because, well, we do have a new principal. And
okay.
The principal is excellent. I've known her for almost 10 years. Excellent person. Okay. Has taught. Okay. This is somebody who is approachable.
Okay.
Okay. Very, very knowledgeable about education. Believes and truly believes that a school is only as strong as its staff.
Okay.
And, of course, it's the community and the children.
Right.
Okay, and doesn't just, in my opinion, does not just talk the talk, but walks the walk.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So this is what we need. I also believe that as a representative of a teacher in any disciplinary, actions, okay, that the chapter chair should not just sit there silently, but needs to ask questions, needs to ask for clarifying points, and even after the meeting's over, the chapter chair should meet with the principal and discuss ways, you know, to come to a solution that maybe a counseling memo could be written, maybe a warning letter could be written. It doesn't necessarily have to be a disciplinary letter.
I see. But that is, that's not something that is provided in the current contract, correct?
Oh, counseling memos are provided.
No, the discussion you're asking to have.
No, it's not provided in the current contract, but I know principals and union reps who do it.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to be clear that that's like the weekly meeting you want to have with the principal. This idea is only going to happen if a principal acquiesces to your requests.
I don't even want to call it acquiesce, because I'm not asking for the principal to acquiesce.
Well, to agree to do it. They don't have to.
They don't have to. And if they don't, I respect that.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But it's got to be true collaboration.
Okay. You know, we've had this guy on hold for almost 20 minutes. Let's let him back on and see if he's got anything to say or ask. So, area code 804, you're back on the air, sir.
Yes, I'm enjoying what I'm hearing, because it looks like Mr. Zucker is looking to bring more transparency into the system and accountability, and the collaboration is the key word for the future. People are fed up with what we have. We've been manipulated and jerked around, and it's time that we stand in our own truth and power. I'll share my name if I may, and you can see some interesting things on the internet.
Please.
My name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name is Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. If you go HughTrawlson.com, that will bring up a site that has a front page Wall Street Journal article on it. And back in 1983, I exposed a former federal government bureaucrat for fraud, and the attachments to that will show the original memo that caused the whole front page Wall Street Journal article. And that article was the beginning of the end of Jim Wright as Speaker of the House. He resigned in shame.
Oh, my.
Also on that. Yes, and on that site is a letter to me from our current president dated July 7th, 2009, related to the economy. And when you Google my name, you'll see other things on the Internet. And I stand on my truth, and I commend Mr. Zucker, because it's time that people accept responsibility and understand that, you know, this country is just falling apart at the seams. And education is going, it's got to be totally revamped, because they're taking creativity out. They're putting in curriculums of control. And that whole paradigm is breaking down all over the world. And it's been in place since the beginning of time. It's all about control, conquer, and divide. The new paradigm is going to be caring and sharing and collaboration.
Let's hope so. Do you have a question or anything for Peter before I put you back
on?
Well,
he can interact with me if he would like and bring some of the information to light. And I will also say my last name has global recognition, and if anybody goes into the kitchens and the public schools, my father manufactured commercial refrigerators and freezers that bears my name, Charles.
I'll be darned. All right. So.
Okay. Hey, well, thank you very much.
Yes, and I'm self-proclaimed Hugh, the heartbeat of America. If that's an endorsement you can accept, put that in the media, because I'm looking to get a lot of information flowing, and I heard you did some writing, so I'll kick it out there with a lot of very interesting things to wake people up.
Okay, well, you can check out my blog at southbronxschool.com.
Okay, and I hope that you'll be successful, because the old boy networks are falling apart too. People are looking back at where the dollars are being spent and where, and the banksters are running for the hills, and
it's a disaster.
We have to accept responsibility for this too, because it's just been going on for decades, and we have to now understand that we've put a lot of crooks into office. And what I say for our future is we have to laugh and love the ones that are in office out and love the right ones in. So I love what Mr. Tucker is saying, and I hope he'll get in.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Check out my blog, southbronxschool.com.
Okay, thank you, and God bless.
Okay, thanks, Hugh, and I'm gonna I'll check out your blog and everything, Hugh, and I'll make sure we kind of stay in touch. Okay, thanks a lot.
Wonderful, thank you.
Okay, so Bronx, there you have a guy who talks just like you.
Mm-hmm.
That weird accent, and he's on your side. That's good for you, huh?
Uh-huh. That is good for me. And I can understand, you know, on the other side, I can understand why some people, you know, because I'm so out there with my blog, to the radio show, with this and that, they can, you know, and I can see how people can misconstrue it, maybe on attention or maybe, you know.
Well, that's kind of, I wanted to ask you about that, because you do have this reputation for being tough, and speaking your mind and not pulling punches. And, you know, you and I have been yelled at by others on Twitter and in other places for being so combative or argumentative.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like the position of chapter leader, you know, that you're not going to be able to be that way, at least not all the time. How are you going to recognize?
Well, it depends on the, you know what? Everything depends upon the situation. Okay?
What situation do you envision when you being sort of a loud mouth is going to be acceptable?
I'll tell you one. And this is what I see coming down the road. Okay?
Yep.
My school has not made it AYP last year in ELA. We did not make our AYP last year in math, for special ed, and ELL.
Okay.
The state is coming into our school this Tuesday and Wednesday for the quality review.
Okay.
We have, right now off the top of my head, 5 or 6 empty classrooms and or underutilized classrooms. We are ripe for either getting a co-located school in there, which will eventually squeeze us out.
Right.
Or being shut down.
Okay.
Now, people say, oh, if we get the scores up and everything, we won't get shut down. And I say to that, bullshit. Because right now we have a mayor who will do it just because he can. Do it out of spite. But then you'll hear, well, Mayor Bloomberg will be gone in about a year and a half. Well, you don't know who's going to come back. You don't know who's going to be mayor. And you don't know where these people are going to get their money from.
And so how is your forceful, take-no-prisoners persona going to be helpful? I don't think it will be.
You don't think it will be?
Well, I'm...
I think it will be. And you know what? Maybe it won't be successful, but you know what? If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down kicking and screaming.
Okay. I think now that's honest, and I think if people are out there if voters out there are concerned about you not toning it down, well, you're not going to tone it down because you're basically saying, and I'm putting words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, you're basically saying that the time has come for someone like you to take this job because you're simply not going to back down. You're going to go down fighting if that's what it takes. Is that what you're saying?
You're right. I will go down fighting for my school if that's what it takes. If it comes to it in 2 years. Or 3 years, if I'm chapter leader, still chapter leader, okay? We have great teachers in my school. There's not one teacher in my school that I would not be proud to have as my son's teacher,
okay?
We have a great community, okay? We have great parents. We have great kids.
Okay.
Okay?
Now, what if... Go ahead.
Let these people down.
Okay. Now, a lot of people would say that, well, of course, a teacher is going to say that all his fellow teachers are great. Are you just a sycophant? Or is every teacher just great? What about the crappy teacher? How are you going to deal with the crappy teacher? Because there's going to be one.
I'm sure there is. And you know what? If we have that crappy teacher... And he is brought up, and he's, needs a representative. I will represent that teacher to the fullest extent I can, because that teacher has the right to due process. That teacher has the right to hear from his accused or her accused.
Right. Now,
that
what if it
has the
okay? That's I was kind of not thinking of someone getting. I'm thinking of the teacher that just isn't really very good. They're lovely and nice and everyone likes them. But pedagogically, they're just a little weak. Their classroom management's weak. So every time they get a review, it's, it's mostly unsatisfactory. And there's no doubt about it that they are just sort of less than satisfactory. Now, how hard are you going to fight to keep that clearly less than great teacher in their job? Or are you going to be, straight up and honest with everybody? I mean, that's a toughie. So how are you going to do it?
That teacher deserves due process. That teacher deserves, if he or she's not making the grade, then I expect that teacher be either, if it's a new teacher, maybe a second year teacher, to have a mentor. I expect that teacher to receive professional development. I expect that teacher to be spoken to no matter what professionally.
Okay.
I expect that teacher to be given every chance to collaborate with the administration on how to improve his or her pedagogy.
Okay.
That must happen.
Okay. And you sound like you're going to fight for that. So I think your vote, anyone thinking of voting for you will probably appreciate that, because that's a tough one. It's a tough position to be in, to be the guy representing the crappy teacher.
But
you have to.
Is it any different from a defense attorney representing a criminal? Somebody who's murdered? Somebody who's raped?
Okay. No, it's not. I mean, I hear you. That's what I want my union rep to do. I want my union rep to represent me, but I don't want my union rep to, you know, I have worked with crappy teachers before, and, you know, I don't know that it's ever really been the case that the union rep has had the power or ability to help keep that teacher in place when they shouldn't be. But what I hear you saying is that that's not what you're going to do. You're simply going to represent that employee as their union rep, and the quality of their work isn't necessarily what's driving your commitment to them. You sound like you're going to be somewhat dispassionate, which I suppose is what you need to be as sort of an officer representing everybody. And it sounds like you realize that. And that, to be honest with you, that is, or was, I should say, one of my concerns about you running, because your personality is such that, you know, I was concerned. Yeah. But when I hear you talking like this, you know, it does sound like you've thought this through. This is not a quick decision. You're sort of like, are you at the end of your rope, Pete? Is this kind of like a last-ditch effort to save public schools in your mind, in a way, in your little world?
In a way, I think it is.
That's what it sounds like.
In a way, I think it is, because we as teachers, we need to know right now who the enemy is. Okay? And we need to know how the enemy works and how the enemy manipulates. You know, an educated teacher is a strong teacher, is a teacher who will be able to know to fight for their rights.
So are you saying you're going to tell your union members who the enemy is?
Yes.
Who is the, tell us. Who's the enemy, Pete?
I'll tell you right now, the Billionaire Boys Club, the hedge fund managers, okay, the Koch brothers, okay, Whitney Tilson, Mayor Bloomberg, okay, Joe Klein.
Now, why are they the enemies? What makes them the enemy?
Because they want to ruin education. Okay, they want to ruin teaching. This is what they want in the long run. They want to turn and I forgot to mention Bill Gates. They want to turn education into McDonald's.
Be more specific.
There's going to be turnover. Okay. You're going to come in, you're going to teach for 2 or 3 years, move on. Number one, we don't have to pay you that much. Number two, we don't have to pay you a pension.
Right.
Okay?
And you see evidence of this?
It's all going to be a script. It's all going to be a script. It's all going to be a script. It's all going to be a script.
Okay.
Okay?
Now, is there any evidence of this?
Teach for America.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we have two Teach for America. We have two Teach for America teachers in my school, and I'm telling you, they're great. Okay? They really have busted their asses this year.
Right.
Okay? They're great, two great teachers, you know, for first-year teachers. They're great.
So what's your problem?
The problem is I have the problem with Teach for America.
What do you mean?
Well, Teach for America, I don't believe Wendy Kopp for a minute when she says she wants to go into the school, you know, inner cities, and I want to save all the trouble. Bullshit. What Wendy Kopp wants is money. Okay? People need to realize that the school districts pay Teach for America a fee for their teachers.
That's right. I got that out of Gideon on a radio show. They pay a finder's fee.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another psychophant we need to talk about one day.
Okay. And TFA and TFA teachers, when they sign a contract, they're signing for 2 years only, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and I hope these teachers, these two teachers, these, and the male teachers, which we really need, you know, I hope they stay on because I really see that they're going to be great, okay? They're going to, I don't even want to say great because statistically to have a great teacher for every kid is impossible. Okay, they're going to be darn good.
Okay.
But, you know, it's, you know what? It's like, here, Teach for America. Okay. 5 weeks of training, 50 hours. You would give me 5 weeks of training, 50 hours, and you're on your own.
And that doesn't work. We know that doesn't work.
Okay. It's like, you know what? It's like what my wife went through childbirth, man. We went through all those Lamaze things. And guess what? The minute she started going to labor, it was all out the friggin' window.
Right. It's always
you
the
know,
way
because,
it is.
Yeah, because they never told me about her putting her hand around my throat. So,
they didn't mention that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, we need to be educated as teachers. We need to know what's going on out there. We need to know which groups are out there. We need to know which groups are doing us harm and the students harm. Okay? I can go into any school in New York City almost and ask, oh, so what's your opinion about students first? And I'm just going to get a blank look.
So you're a little bit concerned that the rank and file are just unaware of all the sort of right-wing education, corporate education reform stuff out there, and you intend to bring that up and show it to them?
Of course. I need to bring it up. I don't need to beat a drum about it, but at least, at the very least, as a chapter leader, in any newsletters or emailings, it should be, hey, this is what's happening here. Read this. Here's a link. Read this. Educate. Share.
Now, let's get this straight. You are not a classroom teacher, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm dean/save room.
So give us
my school.
So give us your teacher history.
Okay, I started teaching in 1995. I came in late in the year. I was a math cluster. I was an out-of-classroom position, and I came in for the teacher's preps and taught math, okay?
Okay.
My second year of teaching, I was a second-grade teacher. Okay, I was self-contained. And
yep.
I lost the position to seniority and went back to a math cluster my third year there. And I left, went to a third grade teacher who got bumped again for seniority. And then I went to another school as a math teacher again. At that point, I started getting my master's. This was about 2000. I started working on my master's for educational technology.
Uh-huh.
And worked in the district office for District 7 as a staff developer for 3 years, helping implement technology in the classrooms and training teachers in the classroom, as well as giving professional development during and after school.
Okay.
In 2003, Uncle Mike and Joel Klein came in and rearranged the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Uh-huh.
All the district offices were closed. I went to a school as a computer coordinator, and I'll be honest, I did not get along with that principal at all. I came to where I am now, PS-154, in 2004, and I did technology for a couple of years, and then I went back to being my current position.
Okay, so your whole career has been with the children.
Yes. I like the children. I like the kids.
Right.
You know.
But it sounds also like you've done a lot of teacher training.
Yes,
as the tech guy, you're often dealing with teachers as well.
Yes.
Okay. So really I was asking because, you know, lots of union reps are in the classroom, and that can sometimes actually be problematic for the class, the kids, but you kind of have this cool position where your time is, if you have to do union stuff, you're not being removed from a classroom.
No,
correct?
But, no, you're right, but they do give us, they do give in New York City, they, at least they give an extra prep a day
Union stuff.
To do union stuff, yes.
Right, okay. But it's not, but again, everybody, every teacher knows that if you've got a classroom, that's your life. And so you indeed probably, compared to most actual classroom teachers, kind of have less on your plate. You're kind of the perfect position.
You know what? Sometimes it depends on the day, because sometimes I'm dealing with so much, kids having to come being sent to me. You know, somebody's punching up somebody here, somebody's
right.
doing this there. So there's a lot on my, there is stuff on my plate, okay?
Okay.
It's not that we're all equal parts, okay? The sum is, what am I looking for?
The sum is bigger than the part, or however we say that.
Yeah, something like that, or like the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, something, I don't know.
One of those.
Yeah. Something from Star Trek.
Right, something beautiful.
Sure, Mr. Spock said it once, yeah.
Something hippie-ish, something a hippie would say.
Yeah, something Mr. Spock would say. I don't know, like, I am and always will be your friend. Something like that, I don't know.
Okay, so we're down to our last 6 minutes. We had a caller, but they hung up. Hugh's still on the line. Let's bring Hugh back on.
Yeah.
Hugh, you there?
Huh? Yes. It's funny. While you were talking, I was just looking something up to verify it. The house I grew up in Bayside, New York, there is now a public school there on the property.
Darned. What do you think of that?
Yes. P224Q 221-21 Corbett Road in Bayside is sitting on the house where I grew up, and I, as a young boy, knew the widow and sister-in-law of Gentleman Jim Corbett, the famous prize fighter.
Right. Wow,
I lived in Flushing for the first 5 years of my life.
Yeah, I graduated from Bayside High School in '63, but I went to a private Catholic boarding school from my fifth grade in grammar school to my junior in high school in the Mount St. Michael in Mount Vernon.
I know the Mount very well.
I flew into LaGuardia once.
Well, my father had a private plane he used to keep in Flushing Airport, Speeds.
Wow!
Flushing Airport's long gone.
I had to sell my private plane just the other day, along with the yacht.
Well, I'm sure Uncle Mike has his own private plane where he jets off to Bermuda every weekend without telling anybody where he's going.
Right. So, well, when you're that rich, you don't have to tell anybody anything. You own them.
Yes. my fantasy is that somebody will find a photograph of Mayor Bloomberg and a farm animal.
Oh, Lord. Wait, I have something for that. Okay, so that was a little cheer.
And you know what? While you did that, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Hugh, and I wanted to bring up a point about my style.
Yeah.
When you have a member of the Panel for Educational Policy come up to you, and says, not only, Peter, your blog is one of the first things I read in the morning. Okay? But he calls you the Howard Stern of educational bloggers. That's a compliment.
I was going to say, yeah, that shouldn't bother you, actually.
It does. I love it.
You are.
Okay?
That's exactly what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we need, a little controversy, a new light on the subject instead of the, quote, backroom deals that we're getting and forced down our throats.
I agree.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me the most is when people have called my blog obscene, and that bothers me quite a bit.
the blog is.
I'd love to interact with both of you gentlemen because I have a lot of stuff looking to come out of me. But we could collaborate on some books that I can co-author with you or whatever, get some other information flowing. And in the public school system, when I was before I went into the private school system, I went to PS 41 on 35th Avenue in Bayside. And my mother pulled me out of there because I guess I was looking out the window at some beautiful snowflakes coming down or something, and the teacher didn't like that. And my mother was talking to her, and there wasn't anything specially assigned or whatever. But that teacher put into my records that, and I want to get a hold of these eventually, that I was a moron. I love it.
Oh, God. Yeah, you should never look at snowflakes when there's a math problem on the board. that's an example of pure ridiculousness.
Well,
all right, well,
I'd love to have you work with me to get those records made public.
All right, Bronk, hey. there's your first job.
Okay, well, you know, we'll find my blog, email me, and we'll talk about it.
I'll get us all in touch. I got everybody's name and everything, but we're down to our last 2 minutes. So, Hugh, I'm going to say goodbye. I'm just going to mute you, but you can stay on till the end and listen. But thanks for calling in, Hugh. You're an interesting guy, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Wonderful, and good luck on your running, and hope you succeed.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Hugh's muted again. So, Bronk.
You know what that reminds me of? Did you ever see that Barbra Streisand What's Up, Doc?
Yeah, long.
And everybody, who's Hugh? Hugh, you're Hugh? Never mind. Okay, what are you going
to
say?
Too long ago, I don't remember. Well, I'm just going to try to. I'm just going to try to close it out. So there you go. There's you're running for chapter leader in the Bronx. If people like what they heard, they should vote for you. If they want someone that claims he's going to fight for them and fight for what's right no matter what, even if it means he's only a one-termer, like another politician I once heard say something similar, you know, if they believe you, then they should vote for you.
Hey, you know, you got to vote for what's long-term. It's not just for me, it's for anybody. You got to think. As a nation, we think too much short-term. We don't think long-term enough.
That's why we have the problems that we have. And we need to look forward, and you claim to be a forward looker. You're aware of all the danger out there for teachers and kids, and you're going to expose it and inform your people. All right, so in 30 seconds, tell us goodbye, something cute.
Hey, something cute? Okay. For those who know me, you know where to find me, southbronxschool.com. For those who don't, on Twitter, my handle's @SoBronxSchool. Right now I'm on hiatus for the radio show. Rush comes out with a new album first week of June, starts touring September 2nd. Okay, and through the middle of December,
Ten,
I'm looking forward to
nine,
going to see them in Germany
eight.
This tour.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Bronx.
As always, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. It was great having you on, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you for having me, okay? Good night, all.
Okay, so that was that. We've got a couple more minutes left. So I guess I'll play you a song. I should play you a song. Let's see. I'm going to play you. Do you guys want to hear Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks? You want to hear some Almonds? Want to hear, here's one. The Grateful Dead, ladies and gentlemen. Here you go.
On a laughing pillow. of love. Beneath the sweet, calm face, see swift undertow. Thank you.
that was Crazy Fingers by the Grateful Dead. Just a nice little tune. You want to hear another? I got nothing to do. Let's see. That's kind of good. No, we don't want to do that one. I was thinking Free Your Mind. The Funky Divas did that one. Or I could do, let's see. Oh, here's a favorite of mine. David Lindley. You all know David Lindley. Well, if you're my age, you know David Lindley, even if you don't know David Lindley. Those of you who know David Lindley, you know who he is, so ignore this. Those of you who don't, David Lindley is the guy that plays the pedal steel guitar and sings on Jackson Browne's Stay. Oh, won't you stay? That guy, that's David Lindley. David Lindley is a master of stringed instruments. The guy can play anything. I think this song off of his El Rayo X album called Mercury Blues, that might have been his first sort of solo album in his second coming. He was around in the 60s. I think he had a band called Kaleidoscope, and they did something. But then he just became sort of a side man, you know, everybody's guitar player. But then he put out this album back in the 80s, and he put out a few albums and was doing a whole bunch of touring. And that kind of, you know, that's when he became David Lindley, no longer the side man, but the front man. And he just is one of the most amazing players of things with strings that you've ever heard. This song is The Rocker, and when you listen to this guy play, it just, you know, he just blows my mind. It's so full of energy and so wild, and those of you that know me or listen to my shows, you know how much I love slide guitar, and Derek Trucks is kind of my new favorite. Well, David Lindley was kind of one of my old favorites, so here we go. Okay, so Mercury Blues, David Lindley. Yeah, that drummer sounds like he's banging on some cans. I think that's because he's banging on some cans. Okay, I think I'm going to do one more song, and this is a classic. If you don't know who this is or what it is, shame on you, basically. So here goes. I'm not even going to tell you who or what. I'll wait till the end. Whoops. Hold on. Okay, you know who it was? Sure you do. It was Howlin' Wolf. That's right, Howlin' Wolf. Smokestack Lightning. Hauntingly, sort of beautiful. I just love that song, love that guy. Poor guy, giant guy. Big, giant blues man. Without him, we really wouldn't have the blues. Guys like him we have to thank for the blues. Okay, on that note, I'll end it. Thanks for listening. Bronx wants you to vote for him. I don't care. I live in California. But I will say that I'd vote for him. He's a fighter. He's going to fight for what's right. He's going to fight against reform. Vote for Bronx. Pete Zucker, that is. Vote for Peter Zucker, chapter leader in the Bronx. Peace out, y'all. Have a great rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.